We want to see you do a trick. We want you to convince us that you have the authority to say and do the things you do. And Jesus said, no sign for you. He said, I'll give you a sign, all right. And he gave him a Bible lesson. Did he not? This morning, we are looking at the same chapter passage where Jesus confronted the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees. They were religious leaders of their time. They were known for hypocrisy. They were known for corruption. And the Jewish faith at that time, when Jesus was there, had gone bad. It was like potato salad in the back of the fridge. It had gone bad. And not sour cream, because nobody knows when that really goes bad, or cottage cheese. But the religion that Jesus experienced, that God had ordained, the Jewish religion, the religion that was to be centered around him, to his people, he found it lacking, corrupt, disconnected. It was legalistic. People were disconnected. There were the haves and the have-nots. They were so messed up that when their own Messiah came, the religious leaders refused to believe. Many of them, some of them did, and some did later. But during Jesus' time, many of these religious leaders refused and missed their own Messiah. The Messiah was to come. It was throughout the Old Testament Scripture. And they knew the Scripture, but they failed to recognize their own Messiah because they couldn't get themselves out of the way. I want to remind you that these Pharisees and religious leaders had committed the unpardonable sin. They said that the work of the Holy Spirit was demonic. They said that Jesus had a demon and that Jesus did his miraculous signs by the power of the devil. It's pretty severe, isn't it? That is tough. Remember last week, Jesus called them a den of snakes, a brood of vipers. These were the people that were to lead the people of Israel religiously. And Jesus said, you are evil. You are a brood of vipers. You are a den of snakes. And so Jesus confronted them. We saw that last week. We're going to see this week. And I want to encourage all of you, spoiler alert, don't be stubborn and unbelieving toward the work of God. If God is at work in your life, if you sense God working, drawing you to Himself, believe, and obey the work of God. Don't be stubborn, as many are. Don't say, I'll believe if you do this or that. If you sense God working, if you see God working, give in to the Spirit's work in your life. Let's look at our passage today, Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 through 45. It says, then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, saying, Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you. But he answered them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here. The Queen of the South will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. Who is it? It was Jesus, wasn't it? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. We thank you for all that it reveals and teaches us about Jesus, about your Spirit, about you, Lord. Father, I pray that you would help us to understand it, that your Spirit would help us to apply it. Lord, let us not be like the teachers of the law, but Lord, let us be like those who repented and those who sought your truth. Lord, we love you today, and we thank you that you have given us your word so that we can know your heart and your mind. In Jesus' name, amen. The religious leaders of the day were stubborn and unbelieving, and so they asked for a sign, another sign. Now, we've been going through the Gospels together for months. In our men's Bible study, we've been going through Genesis for years. Just ask Greg Harrison back there in the back. He's keeping track on how many more years it's going to take us, you know, to get through Genesis. But we have seen already Jesus heal the sick. We have seen Jesus raise the dead. We have seen Jesus cast out demons. Jesus has already done all kinds of supernatural miracles. Has he not? You ever seen anybody raised from the dead? I haven't. You ever seen anybody cast out a demon? I haven't. People do. Movies don't count. Have you ever seen a person born a paraplegic pick up his mat and walk? You ever heard of that? You ever seen that? I can't say that I have. Jesus had already proven who he is before this part of the scripture. The scribes and Pharisees had said, "You are possessed by a demon, and you use the power of the devil to do your miracles." And yet, they had not believed in Jesus because of the miracles that he had already done. I don't know about you, but those miracles that I mentioned, and even more, water to wine, I mean, we could go a while for this. That ought to be enough. I think it'd be enough for me. I hope it would be enough for me to see Jesus do those things. But these scribes and Pharisees were hard-hearted, and they refused to believe the words of Jesus and the miracles of Jesus already. And yet, they asked for another sign. Now, let me kind of bring this into our time and world. Some of you, before you became a Christian, you may have been similar. You may say, "Lord, if you'll do this, I'll become a Christian. Lord, if you'll just do this, I'll believe in you. Lord, if you'll do this, I'll go to church. I'll be baptized. I'll go to Africa," so to speak. And I suspect many people do that today. We have already seen God working in the lives of people in our day and time, enough that we should already be convinced. One of the greatest proofs of Jesus today continues to be the power of a changed life. It's not, having a good argument from Scripture, sharing the gospel from Scripture. That is all a part of it. That's all important. But one of the greatest evidences of the truthfulness of Jesus and the gospel and the Holy Spirit is the changed life, the transformed life. If you are not who you once were because of Jesus, Jesus has done that in you. And that is a great testimony, a great witness to other people to see that Jesus has changed you, that Jesus has made you different, that Jesus has changed what's important to you and what you love and what's a priority. It's the changed life. But these Pharisees wanted to see a big, as one commentator said, astronomical sign. Jesus, we want to see a bigger sign. If you are who you are, we want to know your authority. Show us a sign. And Jesus refused to take the bait. It doesn't say this in the Scripture, but I believe that Jesus refused to perform some major miracle because Jesus knew it wouldn't change anything. Their hearts were hard. Their heads were stubborn. He had already done miracles. And another miracle at their demand would probably not result in any difference or change. And so Jesus refuses, and he does something amazing that I want to share with you this morning. Jesus instead says, I'm not going to give you a sign. In fact, he called the Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, even people of Jesus' day, he called them an evil and adulterous generation. Adulterous would be certainly sexual sin, but also it would be that they were not committed to the one true God, that they were committed to themselves, or even they were maybe committed to other gods as Israel struggled. He refused their sign, and instead he refers them to the Scripture. Now they knew the Scripture. The Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, they knew the Scripture. They memorized the first five books of the Bible. How would you like to do that? It'd be tough. It'd be worth it, but we don't. They did. And so he refuses to give them this sign. And he says, instead, I want to refer you to Jonah. No sign for you, but the sign of Jonah. And so what is the sign of Jonah? The sign of Jonah was that God called him to preach to the wicked, evil people of Nineveh. Jonah said, no. He got on a boat, tried to go away from God. Storm rose. I'm making it short. Y'all know the story. They throw Jonah in the water. God had prepared a fish, a big fish. And the fish swallowed Jonah up, and God made it to where Jonah could spend 3 days and three nights in the smelly belly of a giant fish, a great fish, it says. So Jesus referred them back to their own scriptures, and he compared it to what he was going to do in the future. Look what it says in verse 40. So will the Son of Man, that's Jesus, that's what he referred to himself as, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So Jonah spent 3 days and three nights in the belly, the smelly belly of the whale, of the fish. Can't believe I said whale. My professors would kill me. Smelly belly of the fish, and Jonah repented. Hello? Wouldn't you? You ought to read that. You ought to read his prayer of repentance. It's awesome. Jonah repented when God spoke to him, when God got his attention. Jonah begrudgingly repented. Now, I'm going to tell you, don't begrudgingly repent. If you need to repent, willingly, faithfully repent. And so he compared it to what Jesus is going to experience in the future. He said, remember Jonah, but then he tells them, and they're not going to understand this, he says, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Y'all know what he's referring to? Jesus was crucified, buried, and then 3 days later, what? He arose! Resurrection! Shane, you know this is September. This is not April or March. This is not Easter. Folks, every time we come together, we celebrate Easter. Even if we don't mention Easter, there's no reason for us to be together without the resurrection. The resurrection is everything. And so he tells them, you want a sign? I'll give you a sign. And they don't understand what he's talking about, but he is going to say, in 3 days and three, not, it's going to happen later, but there's going to be a time when he is dead in a tomb for 3 days and three nights. And he's going to rise from the dead. Now, Jonah got spat up on the shore. Can you imagine what he must have looked like? Smelled like? Skin all white and or red and shriveled and stinky? Jesus victoriously came out of the tomb. And I want to think that when Jesus rose from the dead and they heard about the empty tomb, I hope these Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes went, one, two, three, oh my. And I believe they did. So Jesus refused to give them a sign on their demand, but he tells them, oh, you're going to see a sign. You're going to see a sign of astronomical proportions, but no sign for you today. Jonah repented. And then in verse 41, it tells us that the men, the people of Nineveh, if you read the book of Jonah, you'll see this. The men of Nineveh, they repented. Jonah decided, okay, I'm going to Nineveh, God. He went to Nineveh, he started preaching, and people began to repent like crazy. The whole place repented of their violence and their idolatry and all the things that Nineveh was known for. They repented. Jonah preached, and the people heard him, and they responded in faith. They were responsive. And so I believe in this passage, in this example, Jesus is telling, he's telling these religious leaders, oh, I'm going to show you a sign. And then he says that that the men of Nineveh were going to judge. Look what it says. They're going to rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. So when people from this generation came for judgment, one of the witnesses against them was going to be the people of Nineveh. Now, this is not really insulting to you, but this would be very insulting to them because they all knew the Bible story. They all heard about it in vacation Bible school and Sunday school. And they celebrated. They knew that the Ninevites were terrible. They were bad. They were so bad, God was going to judge them. And then Jonah preached and they repented. They even made their animals repent. That's repentance, folks. But Jesus is saying, the people of Nineveh are going to be a witness against you because they were responsive. They repented at the preaching of Jonah. But these Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes, they were not repenting with Jesus' preaching and miracles. This would have been very offensive to them. And then he says, something greater than Jonah is here. He was saying about himself, I am greater than Jonah. They would have idealized Jonah. And Jesus said, something greater. It's me. And Jesus could say that. I can't say that. Jesus can say that. And then he gives them another example. He gives them a Bible lesson, doesn't he? He says, in verse 42, the queen of the south will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. Now, if you read in 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 1 through 13, and we're not going to in the interest of time, but there is a story there about Sheba, the queen of the south. That's not, you know, in one of the southern states. That was like in Africa, you know, came up to Israel. Because of Solomon, she came to Solomon. She was this great queen, wealthy queen. She had heard about Solomon and Solomon's God, and she wanted to hear about God and his wisdom that Solomon possessed, that God had revealed to Solomon. And so she traveled many miles and at great expense, because she wanted to hear about God. And she wanted to hear about God's truth. She wanted to hear about Solomon's God. She was a seeker before seekers were popular. But she was a seeker. And again, this wouldn't mean anything to you, but it meant something to them. The queen of the south, Sheba, she is also going to she will be at the judgment, and she will condemn this generation as well, because she sought. She was a seeker of the God of Israel and the truth of God given to Solomon. She was honorable in that she sought God and his truth, his wisdom. And then he says that familiar refrain, something greater than Solomon is here. Who is that? It is none other than Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us. Someone not just a little greater than Jonah, someone not just a little greater than Sheba, the queen of the south, but the promised one of God, the Messiah, the God-man, the Redeemer of Israel, he had come. He is there. So you know what I'm saying here? Jonah and the queen of Sheba are like down here, and God is like way up there. Jesus is way higher than these people. And he is saying, you think these people are great, but something here is greater. Something greater than Solomon is here. So in conclusion, your favorite part of the sermon that means nothing to me, as you know, I want to share some applications. First of all, don't be stubborn in unbelief. If God has spoken to you, if God has revealed himself to you, if you have read the scripture and it has spoken to you by his spirit, if you have seen the godly example of a father or a mother or a grandmother or a grandfather or a Christian or a friend, if you have seen the changed life in other people, if God is working around you and calling you to himself, don't be stubborn in unbelief. And you say, well, I'm not. Good. But there are lots of people in your life that are. And I want you to encourage them to not be stubborn toward God. Amen? Some of you, your eyes are kind of closing. What do I have to do? Don't be stubborn in unbelief. Don't demand that God do something for you in order for you to believe in him. He might just refer you to a Bible study. And with that, wouldn't be bad. But if God is at work, get on board. Don't be stubborn in unbelief. Be sensitive to God's work in your life. Instead of being stubborn, be sensitive. I sense that God is working in my life. I sense that God is working in this situation. I sense that God is working in my church. I sense that God is doing something in our nation. Instead of being stubborn, be sensitive and aware of what God is doing. And believe it. Now, don't be too quick to believe, because we all need to be discerning, right? And there are false prophets out there. Lots of false prophets. Lots of false prophets and teachers out there. So don't believe everything that you hear. Use discernment. Pray about it. Listen to what you sense the Spirit saying to you. But when you see God is at work, be sensitive to it and believe it and get with the program. Don't be stubborn and unbelieving like the Pharisees. Here's another one that I haven't even talked about, but this is good. Believe in the Old Testament. Jesus did. Why do I believe in the Old Testament? Jesus did. When he gave them a scripture lesson, he went to Jonah. You know, that crazy, unbelievable story of a stubborn little prophet that spent the cruise of a lifetime in the smelly belly of a large fish. A lot of people want to discount the Bible because of the miracle of Jonah. That's one that they go to. So did Jesus. He went to that one too. Why do I believe in Jonah? Jesus believed in Jonah. Amen? And so I want you to know that you can believe the supernatural things you read in the Old Testament because Jesus affirmed them. And so if you have any doubts, and I assume not all of you are believers here, but you've got friends, you've got family that may not believe, and if the opportunity arises and they say, I don't know how you can believe that story of Jonah, say, Jesus believed in Jonah. Or I don't believe that we need the Old Testament. And you'd say, Jesus preached from the Old Testament. The Old Testament is essential to our faith. It's an important part of our faith. The Queen of Sheba, that's in another area of the Scripture. Not in the Pentateuch, but in the writings. It's in 1 Kings chapter 10. Jesus affirmed the truth of that account of the Queen of Sheba coming to Solomon. And Solomon having the wisdom the Bible says he did. Why do I believe in Solomon and the Queen of Sheba, the Queen of the South? Because Jesus did. So don't think you can be just a New Testament Christian. Because the Old Testament, Jesus came to fulfill the Old Testament. The Old Testament and the New Testament are not at odds with each other. They are contiguous. They are, help me here, they go together. What? They're complementary. Yes, they go together. So believe the miracles of the Old Testament because Jesus did. And then I just want to remind you that Jesus is the Son of God. And He was not just a man. He was not just a prophet. He is greater than Jonah and greater than the Queen of the South. Now, you're like, I don't know the Queen of the South. I don't know who that chick is and why she thought she was the Queen of the South. But if you read the account, she was a ruler over a great nation and great wealth. She was not some lady that thought too much of herself. She was an important person who came to Solomon. And Jesus is greater than just any person or any prophet. A lot of the other religions will say that Jesus was a prophet. He is more than a prophet. He is more than a prophet. And He even said so. Something greater than Jonah is here. Something greater than Solomon is here. Jesus is the divine Son of God. We should believe and repent because of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. If you have a stubborn heart or mind, whether you're here or you're watching online, stop it. Cut that out. Believe and turn to God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.